listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. This is episode 34, part 2 with John and Scott, and I'm John.
And I'm Scott!
And here we are again! Getting all crazy on your ass.
Crazy insane, John.
Trying to be like Red Bar Radio. Insane. How you doing? I'm Mike D from Red Bar Radio. I'm a real fucking cocksucker.
And I take this seriously, folks.
I'm going to be just like man called Mueller.
I don't want to get lumped in with all those other amateurs.
All right, here we are back again.
All right, Johnson.
The theater of the mind.
Now that we just did our intro, why don't we go ahead and play... go ahead and play in John and Scott intro 01. This is our intro again, because we're going to play next after that. We're going to play Pauly B's imitation of our intro.
Okay, here we go.
So, and we'll see how good Pauly B does. Go ahead and play that first one.
AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
Total Talk Nonsense.
All right, there you go. So there was the first one. Now let's hear Pauly B and Tony Hearn's impression from Punky
number
Radio.
Two.
Number two. Let's hear their impression of us, John.
Total Talk Nonsense with me, John, and me, Scott. Hey, John, how long have you been... I'm sorry, that was me, Scott. Hey, John, how long have you been podcasting for? Well, Scott, I've been podcasting since I woke up this morning. Hey, Scott, you can go fuck yourself, you fucking bitch. Fuck face. I was even podcasting in my sleep.
I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
So I think they did a pretty good job.
Yeah. You fucking bitch.
It's outstanding impression.
That's good, man.
Oh, shit. I just poured Glenn Livid on myself.
Let's see. You got so excited.
God damn it.
Fuck face.
Play that again. That's so goddamn funny.
Total Talk Nonsense with me, John, and me, Scott. Hey, John, how long have you been... I'm sorry, that was me, Scott. Hey, John, how long have you been podcasting for? Well, Scott, I've been podcasting since I woke up this morning. Hey, Scott, you can go fuck yourself, you fucking bitch. Fuck face. I was even podcasting in my sleep.
I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
It's interesting that Tony Hearn comes up with that. You know what I'm saying, John?
Me in the ass.
Because I'm still waiting for Tony Hearn's top 10 doables, and we haven't gotten them yet.
Mine either, so.
Right. That's right.
I hit my cough button. I've been hitting it a lot tonight, man.
Ooh,
ah. That was pretty funny.
Ooh, ah, yeah. All right, then, John. We got a couple other more evidence of our stupidity, so if you want to go ahead and play those clips whenever you're ready. I think we have two clips about John and Scott's stupidity.
I got Stupid 2 and Stupid 3.
Stupid 2 and Stupid 3. Go ahead and play Stupid 2, and we'll see what's stupid about it.
It's just political correctness. Wildman does not give realtors the same benefit of the doubt. This year, he has called for a customer boycott of Target, John.
Oh, my God.
Get a life. You got nothing better to do than come down on realtors. Not realtors. Retailers. I can't believe I didn't catch it,
but I was thinking it first. I'm like, no, he knows what he's saying.
I know what I'm talking about, man. Stupid asses.
Those realtors.
Wake up and smell the coffee.
Thinking they don't say Merry Christmas when? You know,
cocksuckers.
In the winter when they sell houses.
All right, there's some more stupidity from AKC Total Talk Nonsense, and I think we have one more clip, John.
All right, here we go.
See if you can.
They said the
one.
Missile attack on the house near Miran Shah triggered an explosion in a stockpile of musicians, and that U.S. assistance played a crucial role in tracking down Rabia, John. Not that he blew himself up trying to make a bomb.
So, John... Now, on the first one, I caught myself. On the second one, neither of us caught me talking about musicians being blown up.
Well, I thought, well,
a stockpile
how would I catch
of musicians.
And it was supposed to be munitions, right?
Right, munitions. A stockpile of munitions.
I
Not
thought
musicians.
You were right on. I thought maybe they're just sick of hearing that shit, and they blew their ass up.
If there were a stockpile of musicians, I would hope that, let's see, I would hope that Axl Rose, Def Leppard,
right?
Yanni, John Tesh.
Yeah, but then you would have to consider them as musicians in the first place.
Oh, right. Well, I guess we can't do that, can
right,
we?
No.
Right.
That's pretty good, man.
All right, John, you see any movies?
No.
Well, I did. I saw a movie.
What'd you see?
You are working that cough button like
why,
a
could
magician,
you hear it out
my
there?
Man. No, well, I can hear you cough, but not on tape. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's outstanding. Because, you
thanks,
know, John
dude.
Is in a different room than I am.
Yeah.
We cannot see each other when
I'm
we broadcast.
The board.
Working the board. He's the producer co-host. I am the co-host.
Yeah. And engineer. I'm the engineer as well.
And the engineer. That's right.
Right. Yeah.
All right, John, so I had a date night.
You did?
On Friday.
No.
It was like the first date night I've had in probably since April, where we actually got a babysitter. She came over. We left at about 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we got home at 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So the first thing we did, it was a surprise from the lovely, is we went and got massages at Mario Tricoci's.
Oh.
And I got to tell you, John, I've had a massage before, but this was one of the better ones I've ever had.
Did you get a reach around?
I did not get a reach around, but if I asked for one, I bet you I could have.
That's sweet. That's hot.
Because my masseuse's name was Gary. And I've been to Gary before. But my wife got like an extended massage.
What?
I guess when we've gone before, we've only gotten like the 45-minute massage.
Right.
But she got the extended hour massage, right?
Oh.
So Gary goes through the routine, and you're face down, right? Well, what happens is you go in, you wait. There's a woman's waiting room and a men's waiting room.
Yeah.
The woman's waiting room is like Grand Central Station. It's huge. At the men's waiting room, there's enough for two men to sit in. That's it.
That's hot.
Because men don't go to Mario's, right?
Right.
So I'm sitting in there, and Gary comes by, and he's like, hey, you ready for... Well, he's I can't do a Eastern... Slavic? Is that a word?
Yeah.
Accent. Maybe he's Russian. I don't know. Are you ready for your... I can't do it. Are you ready for your massage? Yeah, no doubt. So he takes me to a room, right? And he closes the door, and then he tells you where the hooks are. So you take all your clothes off. You get to leave your undie-grundies on. So I'm doing that, but I don't have my pants off yet. And he opens the door. And he's like, he sees that I'm not ready, and he closes the door, and he's all embarrassed. So then I get the pants off, I get the shoes off, and then you got to lay face down on the massage table, and you put the blankets up over you. So then he comes in, and the guy, he's got the strongest hands on the in the world. His hands, his fingers, his one finger is stronger than I am overall.
stronger than your entire body.
Stronger than my entire body is one finger. So he works on the back first. You know, and he puts lotion on. And I think it's got like a heating component to the lotion. And there's some music playing, and you hear humpback whales singing and stuff like that. It's very relaxing. But when he finds a knot in your muscles,
yeah,
he goes to town, man. And it's excruciating sometimes. And if he can't work it out with his hands, what he does is he lubes up his arm. And he tries to work it out with his elbow.
Really?
Yeah, so he's like digging down with his elbow. And that's pretty brutal. And I've had massages with Gary before.
Oh, but this is
I have, but this is the first time he asked me to turn over. Please turn over. Oh, okay, I guess This is the extended massage.
And you said,
what's your fucking point?
Well, no, I turned over. And then he does the back. When you're on your stomach, he does the back, he does the legs, he does no arms, a little bit of the neck. Then you turn over. Then he starts working on the legs again. He works on the arms. He works on the pecs, the chest. And then he does a little bit more on the back and then the neck. And the neck is my favorite part.
Oh.
When they try to pull your head off, that's my favorite part. Like they dig their hands down under into your back and then they try to pull your head off.
They dig it down under?
Dig it down under. And
nice.
Then that's hot.
It's hot, man.
And the whole time, not the whole time, but a couple of times I'm thinking to myself, hey, you know what, John? I'm not gay. Because there's a man with lotion rubbing me, and I'm not getting an erection. And I'm overdue for an erection. You know what I'm saying?
Where's he rubbing you, man?
Well, he's rubbing me like on the shoulders and the pecs, and he's taking the hands, and then he's doing this thing with the fingers.
Nice.
It's very homoerotic. Like pulling on him like he would a schwanz, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I didn't get aroused at all. So I'm thinking, hey, I'm not homo at all. Not one, I don't have one cell of homosexuality in me. So that's a good thing to know. But then I
you
did
liar.
Have, the, wait a minute, I'm going to get to that. So then I, but while he was, you know, massaging me, I was kept thinking, damn, his fingers are strong. And the thought did occur to me, I wonder if he were to give a hand job, what that would feel like, because the guy is so goddamn strong. But I did not get aroused. And that was just a passing thought that I had. But, John.
Why would you even think that you're gay?
No, I'm not.
No, but, I'm married.
That's right. But, John. But John.
But John.
When we were all finished, when he told me we were all finished, he grabbed my knee and he shook
fuck
it.
Face.
He what?
He shook it back and forth and he said, we're all finished.
We're all finished.
And he shook my knee. And then.
Put two of them up your ass.
He asked me if I'd like something to drink, water, juice, whatever. I said, yeah, I'll have a water. Give me some ice. And then he said, okay, I'm going to get that, and I'm going to come right back. And when he was saying that, he had his hand on my knee, and he shook my knee. We're all finished. Okay, and then he let his hand kind of drag down to my foot, and then he shook my foot. And he said, I'll be right back with your water. So, yeah, I think if I were a homosexual, I could have been all over Gary.
Nice.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So when I'm and by the way, he told me I have very nice muscles.
Oh.
Yeah. He said, do you work out? And I said, no, not lately, but I'm gonna start again, Gary. Okay. So while I'm getting my massage, the wife's getting her massage, but she has a female masseuse.
John, I'm fixing.
Oh, you found it.
Nice.
Thank you. Finally. Nice fucking name you named on it. Hillbilly 3. I'm fixing to.
Well, I gave you like four to choose from.
John, I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
It's, all right. It's Jom with an
Jom. M. Yeah, Jom. That's how hillbillies
Jom,
talk.
I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
So my wife. I told her, I came out and I said, boy, that's the first time I've ever been told to roll over. And I was worked on in the front. You know what I'm saying? And she says, well, I did get the extended, but I didn't get to roll over. And I said, well, why didn't you get to roll over? And she said she had at least, the woman counted them, 13 knots on one side of her back.
Wow.
So the woman never even finished her back completely. She said, you have to come back. We're going to have like four sessions to get all these knots out.
Wow. Oh,
and
by the way,
why?
By the way, Rex Grossman is in.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry. I'm watching the Bears game at the same time we're doing this.
Has he played the whole game or has he just come in?
He just came in.
Nice. All right, so my wife has major problems on the back. She didn't even get to roll over. She didn't even get the leg massage or the hand massage or the head massage. The woman worked on her back for the entire 60 minutes and only half of it. And it's because my wife is under so goddamn much stress. And you know what most of that stress is, John?
You.
That's right, me. I'm the cause of most of that stress. So I told her, honey, do whatever you need to do. Let's get as many massages as you need. Let's get these knots out of your back.
And you know, one of them was you. They just got rid of you.
Right. Just get rid of him. And then, yeah. And she, you know, at home, she's always asking me to massage her. You know, rub here.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the hell I'm doing, so I'll start, and she'll be like, oh, that's too hard. Oh, that's not hard enough. And so it's, I need to take a class or something like that.
I'm a good
John.
Massager.
Oh, and that reminds me, I'm a new student at DePaul University.
Oh, that's
pursuing
fantastic.
My bachelor's degree, John. I start January 23rd.
Hey, here's to you, man.
Thank you, John. I'm very excited about it.
I think Kyle Orton is crying.
On the bench?
Yeah. He just had his hands in his pockets with those little bear's knit cap on going, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
So after the massage, we went to dinner. We went to Maggiano's.
Oh, and, nice place. I love Maggiano's.
We always get lucky and
they
we can seem to,
lot of shit.
To grab a table right at the bar so we don't have to wait for an hour.
Right.
So we grab our table at the bar. We got some wine. We got, what did we get? We got the salad. We love the Maggiano salad. Hold the onion. And we got the shrimp oregano. You ever had that?
No.
Oh, my God. You got to get that. That is so unbelievably outstanding. So we got that and the wine. And then that's all we did. And we talked. And then after that, we left and we went to a movie. Guess what we went and saw, John?
I guess you're coming to this movie finally.
Finally to
finally.
The movie.
Oh, what was it?
Because you haven't seen any movies, John,
no,
have you?
I haven't.
I saw a movie.
Narnia.
I saw, it rhymes with Narnia.
King
Syriana.
Kong? Syriana.
Yeah, I saw Syriana with a lovely wife.
Good movie.
We were going to see King Kong.
Probably
but
long, but
it was like 3 hours long. So I asked
hey,
the guy.
What do you need to see King Kong for? It's a monkey just terrorizing the United States. You might as well just turn on Fox. You could see the W. It's the same monkey.
Yeah, but the W.
John, I'm fixing to fuck you in my ass.
But the W doesn't fight T-Rex, man.
Oh, that's true.
You know what
true.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. But when he does come over to the States, yeah, he just fucks everything up just like the W does. Oh, was that Phil already?
Yeah, just leave him out there. He's got to wait till part three.
All right. He's been out there since part one. It's pretty cold, John.
Yeah, I don't care. Fucking baby.
I never gave him my cell phone number, so I guess.
Good.
All right, so John, I saw Syriana.
I thought it was
outstanding. And when I first saw it, when I first left the theater, I was like, meh. All right, that's okay. It's okay.
What's your fucking point?
But I cannot stop thinking about this movie. And to me, that's what makes a movie have more resonance. You know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah.
And my wife and I are, to this day, and it's like 2 days later, we're debating...
what it was all about.
About Matt Damon's character.
Oh.
And did he know or did he not know? And I'm on the did he not know side, and the wife's on the did he know side. But anyway, let me tell you a little bit about this movie. I went to the Ebert site, because he's my favorite critic, of course, Roger Ebert. Oh, and go out to Mr. Schmooley's Corner. We posted some new videos, and there's a great one of Roger Ebert out there.
No, it's John and Scott.
John and Scott at the
movies.
Theater. All right. So Ebert says, Syriana is an endless, fascinating movie about oil and money, America and China, traitors and spies, the Gulf states and Texas, reform and revenge, bribery and betrayal. Its interlocking stories come down to one thing. There is less oil than the world requires, and that will make some people rich and others dead. And
right.
This movie is told. There's several different stories going on. It's very complex.
It's like Traffic, right?
It is like Traffic, and it's by the same director, Stephen Guggen, as Traffic. So it's a bunch of interlocking stories that, as you watch the movie, they all become... not really clear, but there is some relationship with all these stories. And I got to tell you, John, there's one story that goes on, and it's immediately, you know immediately what the storyline's going to be.
Yeah.
Because it's about two Pakistan guys, one's the father, one's the son,
yeah,
who can't get work. And you know right away, okay, the son's going to be brought into this kind of like a Willow Creek born-again Christian, but the Islamic version.
Right.
And brainwashed to blow himself up.
What's your fucking point?
But the other storylines, so every time that storyline came on, I was like, yeah, okay, great. Get on with it. Because I wanted to see George Clooney, John. And I wanted to see Matt Damon.
Yeah?
Yeah. Great cough button work. That is outstanding.
You heard that again? How can you hear that?
I can hear it.
You're not supposed to say it. You're not supposed to say anything.
I want to give you props.
Don't draw attention
man.
To it.
All right, so getting back to the movie, George Clooney's like a CIA agent, right?
Yeah.
And he spent a lot of time over in the Middle East, and there's one scene that they could cut out with his son, you know, because it's the son, you know, complaining about his dad. Hey, just forget that. Cut that scene out. That's if I'm the editor. Yeah. I'm cutting that shit out. But anyway, George Clooney is one interesting MF-er because you're wondering, okay, what are his motives and why is he involved with this? Why would he risk his life for this bullshit?
Right.
So I'm thinking about that all the time. The other really interesting character is Matt Damon. Matt Damon has a wife and two kids and they live in the Middle East. And he has like a stock trading show. He's a broadcaster and he gives the latest stock news. But through events that I will not mention, he hooks up with a brother. There's two princes that are going to take over this country that's oil rich.
Touchdown Bears.
And he hooks, nice. And he hooks up with one of the brothers through this series of events, and he gives them some advice, and they have this bond, and they become very close, and this guy doesn't want to go anywhere without Matt Damon. Now, his younger brother, not Matt Damon's, but this Arabian guy, his younger brother, the father names the younger brother as the next king.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of oil, a lot of politics going on. And this guy's a fucking cocksucker, this younger brother. The older brother has, he has plans, he has strategy to bring the Middle East out of this bullshit and get some education, give some women some rights. He's all, you see the movie and you're like, yeah, I want that guy to be the next king. But no, the dad gives the kingdom to the younger brother, who's a total cocksucker. And he's all about wealth and money and what can you do for me and all this stuff. So guess what, John? The U.S. wants the younger brother in charge so they can make their deals. They not want the older brother.
Right.
So the U.S. gets involved.
They don't want a democracy. They want chaos.
George Clooney gets involved because he's in the CIA. Matt Damon, and I still can't, I think he wasn't involved. I think he wanted to be a part of history. My wife thinks he was involved, but you'll have to see the movie.
Oh, okay.
And, it's fucking great, man. But the one thing that does not ring true, to me, anyway, is everybody in this movie, everybody, and it's about the oil business.
Yeah.
Is smart as hell, John.
Oh, yeah.
Smart as fucking hell. And then you think about the W. He was in the oil business.
Yeah.
But he was a failure in the oil business.
Right.
And then you can understand why he was. But because everybody in there was as smart as hell.
Right. But what you're forgetting is that anytime they want just a Bush linked to any oil deal because of how powerful the name is. It's
right.
Just like the one younger brother, you know, the prince and the kingdom and all that, very powerful. That guy's an asshole. He's an idiot. He's whatever. And
they're just using him.
Right. They were just using the W for all that stuff.
I see. Very good.
They were
very
grooming
good.
Him. They were grooming him for this position that he's in now. They got him into the governorship. He's now president, and he's just a fucking puppet. All he is.
The one character.
And he's surrounded by a lot of smart people. Look at Karl Rove. Look at Condoleezza Condescending Rice, Darth Chaney,
right?
Bob Ronald Hope. Dumsfeld. What'd you say, Arnold?
No, I said Bob Hope.
Oh, Bob Hope. let me tell you something. Yeah.
Oh, the other one, Christopher Plummer is in. Christopher Plummer is in it. And he's a lawyer. And there's this one scene where he is with the...
But I hope you leave enough room for my fist, because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine!
He's in a scene with the prince, who's about to be named king. And the prince comes down on Christopher Plummer. And Christopher Plummer puts that motherfucker in his place. And it's one of the best goddamn scenes I've ever seen.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that movie.
And there's another character. He's played by a brother, Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah,
His name is Bennett Holliday, and he's a lawyer, and I think this guy should be nominated for an Academy Award. He did a fucking outstanding job, because he had to balance all the politics and all the, I can't think of the word. John, you and I are friends, right?
Yeah.
We back each other up. What is that called?
Friendship?
No.
Camaraderie?
Yeah, that's not the word either. But anyway, he understands the relationships that he has with other people.
Yeah.
And there's this great scene where he sells out his boss for himself and for the overall political gain. And it's outstanding.
Nice.
And this guy just does a great job. Just a fucking great job. But the whole thing about it is everybody in this movie is so goddamn smart. And the whole time I'm watching it, I'm thinking, okay, George Clooney, this guy's smart. He's sharp. This lawyer, he's smart. He's sharp. How do they view the current commander in chief? Because the president, which currently is the W, they make mention of. So he exists in this movie.
Yeah.
But they never, I'm wondering the whole time I'm watching, because these people are so fucking smart. What do they think about the commander in chief? This ignoramus that we have in office, John, this chimp, this monkey, who can't even put a fucking sentence together.
Disassemble, that means not tell the truth.
Any one of these people in this movie would be a better president than George Bush. Any one of them.
Even as an actor.
as an actor.
Kind of one of those exaggerations.
I don't think so.
So when, you know, when the movie finished and the wife said, what'd you think? I didn't know what to think. I was like, okay. But as I think
it kind of sent you some mixed messages.
Yeah, no doubt. And as time has gone on, I am more and more intrigued by this movie because I keep thinking about it. And there's one specific question that I have that I have to go back and see the movie to get answered, because of the way it's told and. So I don't know if I'd recommend it. I thought it was great, and I keep thinking it's better and better the more I think about it. It's a thinking man's movie, John.
Cockpushers.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I guess The Lurve, you might as well not see it. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to get it. I don't even know if they let you out of your mental institution to go see it.
God.
So don't bother. But, to our more, like Moikow, he seems like one of our intellectual fans.
Yeah.
I would recommend it to him.
Yeah. I think you'd have to see it a couple of times. And also you'd have to read maybe a book on the Middle East. Because I just from the interviews with Clooney and stuff, oh, the Bears intercept. I'm sorry. What am I doing? What's wrong with me?
I don't know. They're up 10-3 though, right?
No, 13-3.
13-3.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, you need to read a book like on the Middle East or something to understand that kind of that weird world. Because I've said before, you know, one way to get back at everybody is to start buying your gas at Citgo.
Because that's from Hugo Chavez.
Who is democratically elected. Now, a lot of people say, oh, he's, you know, he's the same. He's a politician. He's a dictator, blah, blah, blah. But he's got a lot of fans. But it's the only country that everybody recognizes that he was democratically elected, not like any of the other countries we do business with. And that scares them. Like you said, they don't want something like that. They want something where these guys just want to make money and they want to give oil to the highest bidder.
Well, in this movie, the U.S. government...
Or to somebody that they're afraid of.
The U.S. government definitely gets involved when the older brother who... wants to really bring democracy to his country, and he wants to give women rights, the U.S. government gets involved to take this motherfucker out because they don't want that.
Right.
They want chaos. They want all this shit going down so that they can make these deals in the back door while the people of the country are worrying about how they're going to get their fucking education and shit like that.
That's the same thing that happened with Saddam. They helped him come to power. He was a dictator. They knew it. They're trying him now for atrocities that he did before he does the handshake with Donald Rumsfeld. After that, they ignore all that stuff, all the chemical warfare that he did on everybody in the North, and they totally ignore that because they were part of it. They gave him all the tools to do that.
But, John, if you were the defender of Saddam, wouldn't you like show that video in the courtroom of when Ronald Rumsfeld shook his hand?
Oh, absolutely.
And said, hey, the U.S. was giving him the okay. Go ahead and be this way.
Absolutely. But he can't get away with what he did. I mean, he did some pretty nasty stuff.
Lawyers are saying that he's going to get away with it.
Really?
Yeah, because all the witnesses that are coming forward and
are
saying...
Are so afraid of him.
Well, no, they're saying, I was tortured. Yeah, I was this and that happened to me. But when they ask him, well, did you see Saddam Hussein?
No. Right.
No.
They said no. He
I
was
didn't.
Nowhere around.
Nowhere yep. there.
That's true.
So then,
oh, I didn't hit my button.
To link that back with Saddam somehow, it's going to be difficult for
I guess
the prosecution.
I guess it's similar to the W in torture, right?
Right.
They can't link him to it, you know,
right, because he
he's never there.
No, I'm not there. I just say it's okay, but I'm not there. But now it's not okay.
No.
Because I made this deal with McCain.
Right.
Well, John, I got some quick science news.
You do?
I love the science. You know I love the science.
I know.
And we got a fan, Science Geek, so he might like this segment as well.
I have some science news, too.
I wish Tony Paul were here.
Sorry. I have some science news, too.
You do? Do you want to start out with your science news?
Yeah, it's a real quickie.
It's a quickie.
Girls gone wild for monkeys. Yeah, it's true, Scott. Pornography studios might do well to take a tip from the Disney Channel. Or sorry, Discovery Channel. Well, that'll make the John stupid clip. According to a recent study, women are aroused by watching monkey sex. Sure, they're more aroused by watching human sex, but the loving habits of the bonobo are enough to bring out the primate in any civilized lady.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that the study conducted by Meredith Shivers of the Center for Addiction and Mental Health and J. Michael Bailey of Northwestern University was published in October issue of Biological Psychology. The researchers found that while straight men are only aroused by females of the human variety, straight women are equally aroused by all human sexual activity, including lesbian, heterosexual, and homosexual male sex, and at least somewhat aroused by non-human sex.
That's got to be crap.
It's true, Scott.
Where did you get that?
Right here from Seed Magazine.
Oh, yeah. That's on my subscription list. Seed Magazine. That's got to be a crock of shit. And you know why, John?
Why is that?
Because we know what big business pornography is. It's huge. And it revolutionized the internet. Some of the cutting edge crap on the internet was done by pornographers. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
And who is the main consumer of pornography?
Men. That's right.
Right. So you're saying if we put, if we started a website with monkey sex, our number one customer would be women. I don't buy it.
No, I didn't say that at all. I'm saying that each subject involved in the report watched 7 2-minute clips of sex, 6 scenes involving humans and 1 of bonobos. The subject constantly monitored and noted his or her subjective arousal. The subject was also affixed with a device that measured genital arousal, penis circumference for the men, and vaginal pulse amplitude for the women.
How do you... All right, so it's penis circumference, right? You just put rubber band around it and you
I guess.
Monitor that.
Or you hold it.
But how about the vaginal? What do you do there?
Well, all 18 men were heterosexual and all reported subjective arousal only during the scenes with women. The objective data match their reports. Images of our evolutionary ancestors do not make a man retrogress to Homo erectus.
So
the 18 heterosexual women reported greatest subjective arousal during the heterosexual scene, but their bodies reported they were less naturally selective. Shivers said in a previous study she had shown a very low correlation between women's stated sexual interests and their sexual arousal patterns in the lab. The correlation was much higher for men, she said.
Wow.
There's the possibility that genital response for women is not necessarily imbued with the meaning about her sexual interests, says Shivers. She also emphasized that her findings do not imply women harbor a latent desire for Lebanese lesbian sex. Or Shivers said women are generally receptive to her findings about their objective responses. Wait a minute. I think I'm missing a page here. When I speak to women, there's sort of an intuitive, oh, yeah, she says. Barbara Bartlick.
You mean when they think about John and Scott?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of an, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of a
Oh, yeah.
Barbara Bartlick, a psychiatry professor at Cornell, said she was not alarmed by the women's response to the non-human stimuli. I don't know why this has surprised everybody that women get aroused watching humans and animals, she says. Animals, because of the way they function in an uninhibited manner, can be very arousing to look at when they copulate.
I guess the problem I'm having with the story is, and I'll quote a line from 48 Hours with Eddie Murphy. Dude, man, when the wind blows, my dick gets hard.
Right.
So men really don't need any stimulation whatsoever to get a hard on.
Yeah.
And women seem way behind that. And now you're telling me that they can watch monkeys hump and they get aroused? What's up with that? I wasted all my time trying to get women aroused and all I had to do was show them a video of chimps humping?
Well, Shivers hopes to discover what specific aspect of a visual stimulus causes women to become aroused, Scott. Some experts believe mentally labeling an act as sexual, just labeling it, arouses women. Others, including Shivers, believe innately recognized sexual features such as an erect penis, even out of their usual human context, stimulate women.
And the story still doesn't make sense to me.
She said she did not yet know how similar to humans and animal would need to be in order to elicit a sexual response from women.
Do you ever see a horse's boner?
Yeah.
It's humongous.
It's gigantic.
That gets me aroused, John.
Does it?
Anyway.
Why, that doesn't make sense. You're trying to make sense of this, and you're telling me that a big horse cock makes you hard.
No, of course, I'm joking.
Jesus,
I was pretending
Christ.
I was Tony Hearn. Anyway.
Fuck face.
You fucking bitch!
Here's why the story doesn't make sense to me. Women are not generally consumers of pornography.
Hey, look, they made a study, okay? You don't know anything about that. What the fuck do you know?
I don't.
You know
here's what
women,
I know.
You know that women have not come out publicly and said that they buy pornography.
You could look at stats.
What stats?
Of pornography.
Oh, I know all the websites that send you shit to your house know if you're male or female.
No.
Right?
But I guarantee that 90% of the people who click on those are males. Pornography is a male-dominated industry,
except
for the performers.
You're right. But they said something like 20% of males in the workplace click on porn sites, and 13% of females click on porn at the workplace.
Okay, so you and I, John, we click on a porn site that shows chimps. What are we going to do? We're going to close the browser. And what you're telling me is that women leave it open
they
and
might
get
check
aroused?
It out.
I don't buy it.
I'm just
I don't buy it.
I'm telling you, what they said in the study. I'm not telling you anything, actually, except what they said in the study.
What is your opinion? I'm asking you, Scott to John, what is your opinion on this story?
Who gives a shit?
This hogwash.
Is what I'm saying.
Because it's total talk nonsense.
I don't care.
That's what we're all about. All right. Well, John, let me get to some real science
news. I just thought it was...
Okay?
Oh, okay. Okay, Dr. Venkman. You're a scientist.
Dr. Venkman. I'm Dr. Venkman.
It's Venkman.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Fucking cocky ass!
And I wish Tony were here for this story to get his response. And I'll save this story for when he does show up.
The TP?
Did you know, John, a single gene makes male... A single gene makes whites paler than blacks.
Oh, yeah.
A single gene.
I read that.
And get this, John. Until 20 to 50,000 years ago, everyone was black, John. So when Yeah. But see, that still doesn't explain why the weeders have no rhythm. All right. Then a mutation in this gene created white people. Reactions. One. Number one. Don't talk about racial genetics. It encourages racism. Number two, if color comes down to one gene, doesn't that minimize its significance? And I agree with that. Number three, did whiteness spread in Europe because it made people healthier or because it made them more sexually attractive, John?
Mm.
I can't agree with number three because I find the black color and even whites, there's tanning salons. So that whites can go and get browner. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So the brown or the darker look is much more attractive than the pale white look. Don't you think, John?
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's the grass is greener.
Grass
mentality.
Is greener?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll actually have to...
Well, what if you're looking at black people all the time?
Right.
And then all of a sudden this white dude shows up. Or
white dude. Oh, that's very Freudian, John.
White
that a white dude
up.
Would show up
Some
that
white
you'd be attracted to.
God made man, Scott, okay?
All right, fall back on God.
Yeah,
great.
God did everything.
All right, so you're saying, so the white chick shows up and you're like, hey, that's different.
Check that out. Let's do it. You remember seeing the Dawn of, what was that movie? The Dawn of Man with Ray Don Chong.
Ray Dong Chong, she's on my honorable mention for hottest chicks.
Nice.
Ray Dong. I don't know what the movie's called.
Oh, man. I can't remember the name of the movie, but she hooks up with these freaking ultra hairy cavemen, and they're trying to do it in the, you know, doggy style.
Right. And
she
wants
flips
a missionary,
it over
man.
And says, well, no, let's do it like this. This is much better. We can look at each other and make eye contact.
Right,
and,
right. No doubt.
You know, so they go at it that way. And he's totally into her because she's different. You know, she's not hairy and all that. She's all smooth skinned. And, you know, so maybe that's what it was. And I think in this study, they talk about that the reason why they think that the whites evolved was because of the sexuality, saying that, oh, this is more attractive because, you know, they have the same old crackers all this time. They got something new.
But, okay, so we know that natural selection, genetic mutation, so a couple of white people showed up, right?
Yeah.
And then the black
mutants,
people.
There were mutants.
I guess it would be, let's correlate it to you and I because we're white people already. Are we more attracted to albinos than we are to white people? No. So I don't buy the sexual attraction BS. But I think that something happened evolutionary, not intelligent designly, you got the white people and the black people. But I am so happy, John, that
yeah.
we were all black people.
Yeah, me too.
I can dig that, man.
Because I had a big cock then.
Right, and I still have one now, and I gotta thank my black
you're
ancestors
like the guy in
for
the,
that.
You're like the guy in the war. They say that, yeah, I shot all these gooks, man, and they say, you know, if he's got to talk about it, it never happened.
Yeah, keep saying that.
Yeah,
all right,
whatever.
Whenever you want to whip it out,
for what?
For the tape measure.
Okay,
on air, I'm ready.
I'm not the one bragging them. I got a big cock. You
no,
are.
But you're the one coming down on me for just telling it like it is.
What do you say is big?
Total talk
what
nonsense.
You
know
big?
What I'm saying?
Huh?
Total talk nonsense. I'm just happy that I have black ancestors. And now, finally, there's an answer to why.
Well, you know, Scott, this, segment has been brought to you by Seuss-Hood.
Seuss-Hood.
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to play a clip. This is actually a commercial, new commercial for TTN.
TTN.
I just don't understand why my son can't read.
These days, it's getting harder and harder for teachers to reach some children.
All he does is sit and listen to rap music.
So in keeping with the times, Big Pimp Mac Daddy Books presents Dr. Seuss's Books from the Hood.
One bitch, two bitch, dead bitch, blue bitch.
All the classics translated into a more understandable composition with titles such as The Cat in the Backwards Baseball Hat, Horton Here's a Hoe, and How the Bitch Stole Christmas.
I will not diss green eggs or the man. I will not diss them, Sam I Am.
Dr. Seuss's Books from the Hood.
Well, son, which would you like to read next? Rocket in My Pocket or Hop on Mom?
Call 1-FOX in Detox today.
That's out of sight,
you shouldn't
man.
Laugh at our sponsor. Man, come on.
No, I wasn't. I was laughing at this next story.
All right.
That has to do with science.
We have another sponsor if you want to hear from.
I'd like to thank the sponsors.
All right.
Let me do one more story. Let's get into the next sponsor of science.
Let's do the story and we got to roll because we're at 46.
46 already?
Yeah, why don't we just continue it, all right? Should we continue it? Can you hold that story to the next segment?
Yeah, so we'll start out part three with science stories, but we got a lot of W to get to part three in our heavy metal episode.
All right, so we'll take it out with, what are we going to take it out with?
Something Christmassy? Or hard rock, heavy metal, you know what I'm saying?
Heavy metal?
Heavy metal.
Let's do something Christmassy.
All right, then.
How about Frosty the Snowman?
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
All right, we're out of here. This has been episode 34, part two. We'll be shortly going into part three, just a click away. Oh, wait a minute. I found one of the things. All right. I don't need to say all that shit.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for
part three. Part three.
Just one last click away.
Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.